Welcome to the DU 8028 podcast. I'm your host, Haley, and today I'm covering the two undergraduate student government vice president and president. Matt Walter and Sophia Gonzalez have founded their campaign on a multi-part platform focused on administration and student life.
So just to start off with a little bit about our platform as president and vice president. So there are three sort of main aspects that we decided to focus on with our platform, and we figured that that could be encompassed through a vision that we decided to call a sustainable DU. And so that not only entails sustainability in terms of like environmental sustainability, but that also entails, you know, rising tuition prices and how they're not sustainable for the student body without increasing also merit scholarships or having tuition lock-in. Additionally, that means school spirit and tradition that we have little to none of on campus. And that's something that we often hear from different students.
Yeah. I'm Matt also. I think we know almost everyone in this room, but hello anyway. So, the last really main pillar of our platform that we really want to focus on is a student-first education. There seems to be a lot of excess and largesse in the higher ed university system, and DU is by no means exempt from that. And I think that we have a lot of student services that aren't necessarily geared in all of their regards to serve students. And that includes anything from looking at parking services to see how we cannot charge an additional $80 tax for people who just live on campus, or looking at how to reduce price, especially for commuter students who do live at home and have to commute into the university. But there's these various programs like this where they exist for a reason and they serve an important function, and it is necessary for the well-being and operation of the university, but they don't always take into account the entire student experience. And so it's important for us to be able to bring that student voice to the table and provide insight into what the decisions that are made, what the ramifications are for our student body in general.
Yeah, also just to follow up on our pillar, you know, dedicated to campus life, spirit, traditions. I mean, a lot of the issues that we currently face on campus is students feeling very involved and supported during the admissions process, but then once they arrive on campus their freshman year, especially for minority students, that sort of goes away. And although the university tends, you know, to market these students in their advertisements and claims to be a diverse university, we see that that's not the reality of things once students arrive. So that's part of, you know, sustaining that engagement once students arrive on campus.
Yeah, and part of that is I really love the Chancellor's new community values initiative that she's launching. If you haven't signed up for that, please do. It's next Friday. It's a whole luncheon, and there will be roundtable discussions facilitated by, I think, a couple of us in this room have signed up, maybe. But I would encourage everyone to go not just for the free food, but because this is just the intro brainstorming session. So this is kind of getting the feet wet on what would a discussion around what our shared values actually looks like, and how could we shape that in the future to be a more intentional and well-rounded process. So one of the things that really annoyed me is I was listening and I was like, this is a great idea. I really love it. I'm fully behind it. How can we make it better and actually get students there? And they told me that in the brainstorming process, just for this initial luncheon, the only student group they talked to was a PLP classroom, which I don't believe is highly representative of the university as a whole. And I say that as a member of PLP, but I think it's important that we have students outside of the group who are so frequently tapped to voice their opinions on these types of things, who can also share their insight. So I think there's a sense of identity that we don't have on this campus at all, and that's evident. If anything, our identity is that we don't share one. Everyone has their thing, you know? So like, maybe that's what we come up with. I don't know, but you know, this is a process that I think we should encourage, and I think it's gonna really help round out this pillar of our platform.
Yeah, so first of all, I think it's important to address a lot of incidents that have been occurring on campus recently, and these have been atrocious incidents that students of color have faced. I'm sure you all heard about the specific incident on the Evans crosswalk. And so that just speaks to the level of, I don't know, separation on campus and the fact that there isn't really a unified student body where everybody is safe here and where everybody feels comfortable to be a part of this community. So part of that student engagement, I think, has to do a lot more with trying to bridge and bring together different communities on campus. And so I think one of the ways that we have sort of talked about during our petition process, we reached out to two multicultural Greek organizations. And so one of the things that we heard from them is that a lot of the work that they do goes unnoticed by DU as a whole, by the administration. And so I think that is one possible way to bring together different groups in the community and perhaps, you know, bring more light to these multicultural Greek organizations and really asking them and collaborating with them on how they want to be better incorporated on this campus and how to bridge that gap to increase sort of like that unified group rather than having these silos on campus.
And I think that this is twofold. There's not, yes, we have to have these lofty goals and ideals, and ideals, we have to have values, try and weave in people who represent different values, different backgrounds, different lived experiences. But also, I mean, there's just simple logistical things, like our bookstore sucks. It's hard to have school identity when you lack school pride because all the shirts are kind of ugly and $80 for an ugly shirt. And that's a problem because our bookstore is not owned by DU. It's actually contracted out. It's a third party company. And I think a big part of that is, I mean, they just look at sales. Sorry. They just look at sales and they're like, is this selling? No. Okay, well, let's try something else. And then they like reiterate the same freaking pattern. I don't even know what the thought process is. And then they do like these massive 80% discount days, and that's how they drop inventory. But I think that if we focus on increasing a little bit more of our representation of like colors and spirit, the things that we can get behind, Crimson and Gold, Denver, like these are things that we chose to be here and be on this campus, and I hope are less controversial. If they are problematic, I welcome anyone to please like point that out to me. But I think that there are a lot of things that we do as a community, as a larger community, that we can all start to rally behind. And something as simple as being able to rep the school and rep the brand in that is a not problematic way, I think that's one really big, easy logistical step we can take in this upcoming year.
Yeah, I think maybe just to add to that too, I mean, we've talked about sort of like spirit, school spirit as a whole, and also one of the things Matt and I talked about is like, what campus traditions do we have? I mean, we have the hockey camp out, but usually like it's more of a freshman, maybe sophomore activity. So I think that would be something cool to work on this year, sort of like brainstorming with the Spirit and Traditions Committee to see like what better ideas we can come up with for the student body. And also with that, I mean, some of the events that we see like most participation at, I think are, for example, lacrosse tailgates. So it's like, how can we tap into that energy and participation and have that, I guess, be replicated for maybe other sports events or for other campus, I guess, events in general?
Yeah, I think a big part of that is, first and foremost, having really strong relationships and at least some mutual trust with administrators, so that administration really likes to have every duck in a row before they operate, because we are a university, we're liable to lawsuit. And I can understand that, but there's also a more pressing and immediate need to reaffirm students of an affected community and show them that they are not alone, regardless of the, you know, regardless of the legal liability out here on the side for this other thing. There's a way to address the campus community immediately and be like, you don't even have to talk about the incident per se. It's more of a, look, right away, we are here for you. We as a university stand by these values. And having those connections on our end with admin and being able to like get on the phone in those instances and say, hey, like, sorry to take up some of your time. I understand that you're dealing with a crisis, but it's really important that we get this message out there and we get it out there now so students don't feel like they're fumbling alone in the dark. And that's also something that USG can do. I think as president, vice president, as an executive branch, it's a lot easier for us to be able to use kind of like the bully's pulpit, as it's said, about presidential positions and get their position and their voice out there to just reassure students that we are listening, we care, we're here for you. On the back end, obviously condemnation is very important, but I also think that we can't be 100% only responsive in these situations. I mean, we still have problems like this that continue to perpetuate on this campus and affect our community because we don't put in the effort to educate and to share experiences with one another up front. And if we continue to neglect that responsibility, then we'll be stuck in this responsive environment. So while response is very important in the status quo right now, I think it's always also important that we try and shift away from the status quo of having to be stuck with responses and actually consciously and intentionally create a dialogue ahead of time that hopefully opens eyes and mitigates some of the more horrific acts that have come at us lately in the last 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think Matt covered almost all of it, but I think it's also important to realize that this is the undergraduate student body, so whenever things like this happen, us as a body, as an executive branch, we're allowed to react, and we should react immediately when these sort of situations happen. Even though we want to work with, you know, the university administration to sort of understand what's going on or where they are in their timeline, we have the ability to respond immediately, whether that be, you know, just reaching out to student groups and also letting them know that we are available to hear their concerns and to also, you know, be public servants and ask them what they would like us to do on their behalf, because we're the ones that have those connections to DU's administration and have, you know, that power to be able to communicate with them more easily and have those direct lines. So it's just really about being open to the student government and letting them know that we are here to, as sort of liaisons between them and the administration, that we're here to help them in any way that we can.
The dynamic duo also hopes to address the touchy mascot issue surrounding the Pioneer name.
So, I think that this initiative by the chancellor is actually a great start. And this goes back, I mean, student groups and individual student leaders have really been pushing for this for years. That's something that predates us. The Boone mascot, as we all know, was removed a long time ago. Couldn't tell you the exact date. Don't remember it. Marshall, do you know?
It's been 21 years since we don't have an official mascot. So Matt and I definitely had to talk about this because we knew it was a question we would be confronted with and definitely an issue that we would have to tackle within our positions. So we sort of decided that it also fits into our platform in terms of like that campus life and tradition and spirit and student body engagement. And we are basically taking the stance that we need a new mascot and we want to advocate for a new mascot. Along with that, we think that Pioneer is trickier. We think that a first step is definitely getting a new mascot that students become, you know, attuned to, I guess, comfortable with, this mascot that students love and is engaging on campus. And then people will be able to step away from the word Pioneer because then it's not associated with our mascot anymore.
Yeah, and we're fully aware of that this is, so I think each year that as a student government, we address this question as, we're gonna fix it this year. And then nothing gets fixed that year. If we can do anything this year, it is to set up the next student government and the one preceding and those student bodies to like continue this fight and pass the torch. So to continue to press the Board of Trustees when we're, you know, with them in casual settings, to continue to press the Chancellor and Vice Chancellors on this issue while we can. But really starting to build and lay the groundwork for kind of a larger student movement, really building off the momentum that NSA has been able to create on this campus, which is, I think, incredible, given the relative size of the community on campus. But I think that it's important that we do continue this. Realistically, will it occur in our year? Odds are, no. But that's not to say that we don't just roll over and give up. So it's, if we don't try now, then there might not be success in the future.
Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or comments, please email thedupodcast@gmail.com. Remember, please wear denim on April 24th in support of Sexual Assault Awareness Month. See you next time.